Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Chavav, and we will begin on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, the second line, the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing situations that we've been learning in the previous Mishnayos, where if one was instrumental in making a woman no longer married, for example, we learned if a shliach brought a get, and he was the one that said b'fani nachtam, which made the get valid, and the woman is now divorced. We learned a situation where a chacham wasn't mater neder for a woman, and therefore she became divorced. We learned a situation of an aid, a witness coming and bearing testimony that one's husband passed away. So says the Mishnah of Kulam, in all of these cases, Shehoyu lahem nashim, if when these men had wives while they caused these women to become mutter, that we learned in the previous Mishnayos, the men are not supposed to marry this woman because it may cause rumors to be spread that they did what they did, they said what they said, in order that these women should become permissible to them. But if they had wives while this was happening, no one will therefore accuse them that that was their intention. And therefore, shahoylam noshim, if they had wives while they did any of these actions, umaisu, and then their wives die, v'taras l'nosilahem, then they may marry these women. There is no concern for rumor. Ask the Tveras Yisrael. We're speaking in the time of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, a man was allowed to be married to more than one woman. So why are we not concerned that even though he has a wife, perhaps he did whatever he did in order to be married this woman in a second marriage? So the Tveras Yisrael says that even in the times of Chazal, when people were allowed to be married to second women, it was very unlikely that a husband, that men would take two wives, or that a man who already has a wife would do something like this in order to be able to get a second wife. And in fact, the Aruch HaNer says that he thinks that that's what Rashi means to say in the Rashi, Shehoylam Nashim B'Shas Maisa U'Meisul Achazman. Why is Rashi trying to add with the words Meisu L'Achazman? Rashi is saying that we're not concerned that while they're married to the wives, they may want to get married to these women as a second wife, because we're not concerned about that. The entire concern, says the Mishnah, and that's what Rashi's trying to point out, is only after their wives die. Since they currently have wives, we're not worried that they did this in order to take a second wife. The Kulam, furthermore, says the Mishnah, if any of these women Nisul Acherim, based on the testimony or whatever the other situation was, they got married to a second husband, V'nizgashu Nishnas Almanu, and then from that second marriage they were divorced or became widowed. Again, Mataris L'Nasulahem, the latter marry the men who were instrumental in freeing them, because we don't have to be concerned for the rumors anymore. Another halacha, V'kul Mataris L'Vneim or L'Acheihem. All of these women may not be permitted to the man who was instrumental in freeing them, but they are permitted to his sons or to his brothers. So the Gemara points out, Mesu, only if the man who was instrumental in freeing these women, wife, died, then may he marry this woman. But Nizgarshu, if he got divorced, then the halach would be loy, he would not be allowed to marry this woman. The reason obviously being, we're concerned that he divorced his wife in order to marry this woman. That means what he was instrumental in freeing these women. Being, and we'll be concerned that he really wasn't being honest. He was just doing it so that he should be able to marry her. And therefore he divorced his wife and now marries her. And therefore we do not let him marry this woman. Amalei Rafilu Ravashi, asked Rafilu to Ravashi, Votanya, we lived in a Braisa, Afilu Nizgarsha, that even if they got divorced, they are allowed to marry the women they freed. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Hada Hava Katata, Hada Loi Hava Katata. Machloikus Rashi and the Yam Shal Shloima, how to learn this Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara is that if there was machloikus in this marriage prior to this incident, so we know that this incident was not the cause of the divorce. There were problems in this marriage anyway. There, even if he gets divorced, he's allowed to marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing. But in a situation where the marriage was fine, and all of a sudden now there is a quarrel which leads to a divorce, we have to be concerned that why did this Shalom Bayis break down? Because he wanted to marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing. The Yam Shel Shloima learns just the opposite. He says, if the marriage was a marriage that was in trouble anyway, so there we're concerned that this person realizes that his marriage has its issues, so he'll be instrumental in freeing this woman because he realizes that his marriage may soon be over and he'll be able to marry this woman. But in a case where there is no problem in the marriage, we have no reason to be concerned that he's going, just because this woman became free, he's going to get into a quarrel, the Shalom Bayis will deteriorate, and just that he should get married. He has a fine marriage, why should he look for another one? Vibay Seima, another way of explaining, Hodaha Delahavikta. Both are referring when there is no machlekes in the marriage prior to this incident. V'loi kasha, hoda argel hu, hoda argel hi. It makes a difference who caused the Shalom Bayis problems. If the husband is the one that caused the Shalom Bayis problems, caused the quarrel, so we have to be concerned that why did he start quarreling with his wife? Because he wanted to see his marriage end so he could marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing. But if the wife, if his wife was the one that started the quarrel, her intention certainly wasn't that they should break the marriage so he should be able to marry the other woman. And therefore, even if they got divorced, the halacha would be that he could marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing. Another pshat that the Meiri says is we have to look at what is the quarrel about. If we see that the quarrel is about a substantive reason, so we see that it has nothing to do with him being interested in marrying the woman he was instrumental in freeing, and therefore, even if they get divorced, he can marry this woman. But if we see that the quarrel was over nothing really significant, there we have to be concerned that he just got into a quarrel and wanted to get divorced in order to marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing, and there he would not be allowed to marry her. Another point that the Ritva makes is that perhaps the Gemara could draw a difference even by Mesu, that the Gemara says that if the wife dies, he's allowed to marry this woman. It's only under normal circumstances. But let's say a man was married to a woman who was sick, and there was a real concern that this woman will not continue to live. There, even by Mesu, says the Ritva, who would not be allowed to marry the woman he was instrumental in freeing, because there was a concern that he was already thinking that my wife may die, and I'm going to go now and be able to marry this woman. The Mishnah said, V'kulin shenisu, that if these women married someone else, and then that second marriage ended in divorce or in death, they are allowed to marry the men who are instrumental in freeing them. Says the Gemara, Kusalka Daitan, the Havamin of the Gemara to understand, is Misa Amisa V'gerishin Agerishin. That the situation that referred to in our Mishnah is that a man came and said Edis, said testimony that a woman's husband died. So she became a widow. And then she goes and marries another man, and this husband also dies. So she's allowed to marry the witness who said testimony that her first husband died. Similarly, Gerushin Agerushin, if there was a shliach who came and said b'fani nechtem b'fani nechtem, and therefore this woman is now considered halachically divorced, she now goes marries a second man whom she also receives a get from, and now she's allowed to marry the first shliach, the shliach who had said b'fani nechtem b'fani nechtem. So we have a situation that a woman is allowed to get married even though she became a widow twice, and even though she was divorced twice. Name Masnisen, the like Rebbe. She would say that our Mishnah is not consistent with the position of Rebbe. The Rebbe says, Hama betray Zimna have a chazaka. A chazaka is formed after two times. And there's a concept in halacha of katlonis. Katlonis is a woman whose husband dies, and the machloikis says, when is a woman considered katlonis? And that machloikis really depends on another machloikis, which is, what is a chazaka? Rebbe holds that chazaka is after two times. Shimon Gamliel says a chazaka is after three times. So if a chazaka is formed after two times, this woman that we just discussed, two of her husbands had already passed away. So what's the discussion, asked the Gemara, according to Rebbe, if the man who was instrumental in freeing her may marry her? She's not allowed to marry anyone. She's a katlonis. It must be that our Mishnah is not consistent with Rebbe, and she's not a katlonis after two of her husbands passing away. Similarly, Begerishin, according to Rashi, if a woman received a divorce twice, such a woman, another man should not marry such a woman because she ends up in situations of divorce. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that by Misa, when a husband dies, there is a concept of katlonis. However, by Gerushin, there is no such a concept, and a woman, even if she was divorced multiple times, may continue to get married. The Ramah is machmer on both counts. He says, L'chatchila, one, a woman is considered a katlonis after two of her husbands passing away, and that this halacha is not limited to Misa, but it also includes Gerushin. However, the pious can point out that when we say a woman is considered a katlonis, is if a husband died in not a normal fashion. But let's say a woman was married to a man, and he lived to a ripe old age, and then, Rechmal and Tzlan, he was nifter, which is unfortunately the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that woman is not considered a katlonis. So from our Mishnah, we seem to see that a katlonis, a woman whose two of her husbands died, is not necessarily considered a katlonis. Loi, says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not necessarily a proof against Rebbe, because we could explain our Mishnah, Misa Agerishin, Vigerishin HaMishnah. The woman first was divorced. That was the way her first marriage terminated. And a second marriage terminated with death. Or vice versa. Gerushin Amisa. Her first marriage terminated with a divorce. And a second marriage terminated with death. So she doesn't even have two situations that were the same. And therefore, she's not considered katlonis. But could well be, and actually that's what we said, that the Ramah tells us, that after two times Misa, a woman is indeed considered a katlonis. The Ramban in Chumash asks a question. The Torah tells us that Yehuda's sons, Er and Oinon, both married Tamar. After Oinon's death, Yehuda told Tamar to wait until his third son, Shelah, grows up, and then he'll be able to form Yibam. Asks the Ramban that Tamar was a katlonis, according to Rebbe, because both Aaron and Oinon, her husbands, had died, and therefore it should be forbidden for Shelah to marry her. So the Yashu Shakov points out, from the fact that the Ramban asked this question, it's obvious that the Ramban holds that the Isser of Katlonis, number one, is Isser Deraisa. Otherwise, if it wasn't Isser Deraisa, it could not supersede the Isser, the Chiyuv of Yibam. And moreover, points out the Yashua Shakuf, that it's obvious that the Ramban holds that even in the situation of Yibum, still Katlonis is stronger than Yibum, and a woman as a Katlonis should not be taken in Yibum. The Rambam disagrees that, and the Kesem Mishnah points out that according to the Rambam, 2 points. Number one, the Rambam holds that Katlonis is only in Issa D'Rabbanon, and the Tshuvas Rambam points out that the Isser of marrying a Katlonis does not stand in the way of Yibum. And that means if there's a situation of Yibum, even if the woman is a Katlonis, Yibum should be done. So Poshipshat, we would say there's a Machloikis Ramban and Rambam, because Ramban, who asked the question, doesn't, by Tomar, obviously holds that Yibum doesn't take place in the situation of Katlonis. However, there are Mefarshim that say that there's not necessarily Machlokes to Ramban and Rambam. It could very well be that the Ramban agrees that Yibum supersedes the concern of Katlonis. Only in the situation by Tomar, where it was before the Torah was given, so there was no real chiyuv of doing Yibum, does the Ramban ask the question. But when there's a real chiyuv of Yibum, it supersedes the concern of Katlonis. For the record, the Ramban answers why wasn't Yehuda concerned about the fact that Tamar was a Katlonis. So says the Ramban, that since Aaron Onan died as a direct result of the Averis, as the Pasuk says, so that's not considered that Tamar is a Katlonis, that she caused their death, rather is because they were Bali Avera. Asked Avni Nezer, if according to the Rambam, and the way we explained it could be the Ramban agrees with the Rambam, that the Isser of marrying a Katlonis is suspended in order to do a mitzvah, so every woman should be allowed to get married even though she's a Katlonis, because there's a mitzvah, a prua or a vua. Answers the Avni Nezer, if a woman got married once and a woman got married twice, where there was a mitzvah, prua or vua, that mitzvah wasn't able to prevent the husband from dying, we say that this woman has some sort of a problem with her, so to speak, and therefore, even though there's a mitzvah, she should not get married a third time. But Yibum was not a mitzvah that this woman fulfilled in her previous marriages, and therefore, perhaps mitzvah Yibum is stronger than mitzvah Purur Vu, and therefore, if she falls for Yibum, even though she's a Katlonis, as the Rambam, and perhaps even the Ramban tell us, she would be allowed to get married in Yibum. However, according to Avni Nezer, it would be that if a woman already had Yibum twice, and both of her husband died, then even he would agree, according to his pshat, even the Rambam and Ramban would agree that this woman should not have Yibum a third time. Said the Mishnah, "V'kol mataras l'vneim l'vecheim." Even though the men who were instrumental in freeing women may not marry her, their sons or brothers may, because we're not concerned that they did this on behalf of they did something wrong on behalf of the sons or brothers. Ask the Gemara, "Mishnah mahadatanan." Why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah? Hanita mina isha, if somebody is accused to have been had relations with a woman, also be imo bebito b'achoisa, he's not allowed to marry any of her relatives. And like the Rambam says, it's not only these relatives, it's all relatives he's not allowed to marry. Answers the Gemara, noshil gabe noshi shchicha da azlan. Women go to visit women, gavril gabe gavril lo shchichin. However, men do not go visit men. So pshat's like this. A man is accused of having relations with a woman. As we've learned, he's not allowed to marry that woman. Or one of the other circumstances we've been learning in the previous Mishnayos. He's not allowed to marry that woman. Now, since he doesn't marry that woman, he'll marry one of her relatives, knowing that women visit other women. And that's how he'll be able to have access to this woman that we have concerns about his relationships with her. However, men don't go visit men. So there is no concern that if there's a, that if a person is accused of perhaps having a relationship with a woman, that his brother or someone married that woman, and he'll go he'll go visit that brother and son to have access to her. Because men don't go visit men on a regular basis. Inami, another answer. Nashi deloy asrin shechivasan hadadi loy tapte hadadi. What is the concern? The concern is as follows. A man is not allowed to have get married to a certain woman. We're concerned that he'll marry this woman's mother, for example, knowing that because he marries her mother, he'll have access to her. His wife will not be that upset if he has relations with this woman. Because the halach is that if a man has relations with a woman whom he's not married to, that does not affect the status of his marriage. And therefore his wife will look the other way. I asked the Rishonim, so we know that the halach is that ishtoi mishamritoi, one of the halachas by Hilchas Yichud is that a wife watches a husband from doing something wrong. Answer the Rishonim, when is there a concept of ishtoi mishamritoi? In a normal marriage, a wife makes sure that her husband doesn't do anything improper. Here, where the wife, when she married this husband, knew that there was some sort of a relationship between this man and woman, we can't apply the concept of ishtoi mishamritoi. However, gavri da asin shchivasan hadadi kachna hadadi. However, if one's brother, for example, will marry this woman, there we know that the husband will make sure that this woman doesn't have relations with anyone else. Because the halach is that if an eishes ish has relations with another man, that eishes ish becomes usur, becomes prohibited to the husband. And that's why he'll prevent her from marrying this. That's why even if he marries this woman, there is no concern that they'll continue having relations. Ihochi asked the Gemara, if so, aviv nami. Our Mishnah only said that these women are allowed to marry the sons or the brothers of this man. Inferring, we could easily infer, but not his father. So as the Ritva, and Aruch Lener explains the Ritva, explains the Gemara beautifully. He says as follows. According to the first Teretz, that the concern was that women visit women, but men don't visit men. We could say there's a difference between men visiting men, which normally doesn't happen, but a man goes and visits his father. There's a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So that's why we could say that even though this woman may marry his other male relatives, she may not marry his father because he goes to visit his father. But now that the Gemara is explaining, according to the second Teretz, that a man watches his wife from having relations with anyone because he knows that if she has relations with anyone, it will affect the status of his marriage. So that's the same by father also. So what is our Mishnah saying to say that a father may not marry this woman who he was instrumental in freeing? Answers the Gemara, let me buy you kama. The Mishnah is teaching us that even a father is allowed to marry this woman. But the father marrying this woman is self-understood. Loi mi bai aviv de bozes b'nei minei. A son is in awe of his father. And therefore, certainly a son will not have relations with a woman who his father married. Av b'noi, de loi bozes aviv minei. But if a woman married his son, so father isn't in awe of his son. A brother is not in awe of his brother. So Aim Aloy, perhaps I should think that we should not allow this woman to marry the son or the brother. Kamash Malon, as we explained, we're not concerned for this. And the Mepharshim explained, based on this Gemara, a question that always bothered me. We know that Yosef was accused by Eishes Potipharah of a terrible act. Yet, after being in jail for so many years, when he comes out of jail, who does he marry? Osnas bas Potipharah, his daughter, her daughter, the woman that caused him so much aggravation. Yosef had no one else to marry. But explain the Mefarsha. Our Gemara just said, Hanitin al Eisash Ish, if someone is accused of having relations with a woman, Lo Yisa, he's not going to marry that woman's daughter or other relatives. So Yosef wanted to show everyone that the rumors about him and Asia's Potiphera were totally baseless. How did he show it to the whole world? The way he showed it to the whole world was by marrying her daughter, because it wasn't a legitimate accusation. The Mishnah begins with a case that we've discussed on a number of occasions. There were four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shnayim mehem nesun shtei achoyos, and two of them are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah. Harei elu choltzus v'lemus yabmais. If Reuven and Shimon, v'meisa nesun achoyos, Reuven and Shimon die, harei elu choltzus v'lemus yabmais. Leah and Rachel could only have chalitza, not yibum, because the halach is that they're both ashes. Since they're both zokuk to him, so the halacha is that both of them are not eligible for yibum, only chalitza. If this man did go, if one of the brothers went and married the sisters, yotziu, they have to get divorced. And like Rabbi Aaron Leif Steinman teaches us in the Sefer Ayalos HaShachar, what's the Mishnah use the word imkodmu? The Mishnah is telling us that even if they did this without asking Beis Din, certainly if Beis Din told them that they're not allowed to marry these women, they're not allowed to remain married. The Mishnah is teaching us that even if they did it because they thought that they were not doing anything wrong, still they have to get divorced. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Beis Shammai Mikayim, Beis Shammai Yitzil. It's Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, it says they should remain, and Beis Shammai says they have to get divorced. Tosfos asks, why is our Mishnah bringing down Beis Shammai's position? We paskin like Beis Hillel. So Tosfos says, since as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there's a question, what does Beis Shammai hold? What does Beis Hillel hold? That's why the Mishnah brought down both of these positions. However, continues the Mishnah, Hois achim hen asura al echad isa erva. Again, Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah, but Rachel is related to Levi. So Levi cannot do Yibum with Rachel. So there the halach is Osaba Umutabachosa. Levi can marry Leah. However, Yehuda Vasheni Osabashtayim, since both of them are not his relatives, so we have a situation again of Achosa Kukasai, and he can't marry either. Issa mitzvah Issa Kedusha. If the relation between Levi and Rachel was an Issa Mitzvah, like we learned earlier in the previous parak, it's Issa Drabonon, and Erevim only with Drabonon, or Issa Kedusha, which is only a Chiv Lav, their halach is that since Midaraisa, these women are obligated in Yibum, so we still have a situation of Achois Zukukosoi, and therefore Chalatz is Vulaimus Yabemis. Continues the Mishnah. Hois achmes en asur al ze es erva. Rachel, let's say, cannot marry Levi because she's an erva to Levi. Veshnia asur al ze es erva, and Leah cannot marry Yehuda because she's an es erva to him. So there halach is asur leze muteres leze. The one that's also to Levi, Rachel, who cannot marry Levi, can marry Yehuda. Vasur leze muteres leze. Leah, who cannot marry Yehuda, can marry Levi. V'zui shamru, and this is what the Mishnah refers to, achoysa kishi yavimta oicheletzis amishabemis, that even though we have two sisters falling to Yibum, the halacha still remains that they both could be candidates for Yibum. Says the Gemara, based on the way we just explained, why if two sisters fall to two brothers, is the halacha that they're both not candidates for Yibum? Because Shmami no Yezika. Obviously, there's a concept of Zika, and therefore both of these women are Achois Zukukasai. So, ask the Mefarshim, we already know from the previous Gemara that there's a concept of Yezika. What's the Gemara trying to teach us? So the Rishonim explain what we perhaps see from our Mishnah is not only that there's a concept of Yesika, but we have here a Stam Mishnah that paskins according to the position of Yesika, the Ein Zika. Because if we'll hold Ein Zika, Mechti, Hormitrei Batikasyan, Rachel and Leah were married to two different brothers, Reuven and Shimon. So Haile Yavim Chada, let Levi be Meyavim one sister, Haile Yavim Chada, and Yehuda should be Meyavim the other sister. The fact that our Mishnah prohibits these two brothers from doing Yibim to these two women is because obviously the Mishnah holds that there's a concept of Yei Zika, and each one is Achoy Sukkosoy. Says the Gemara, L'Olam Ein Melacha Ein Zika. We do not necessarily have to say that there's a concept of Zika. So if so, why can't Reuven, Levi and Yehuda do Yibam with these two sisters? Because there's a concern of the Kabishim to Kasavar Osa Levatal Mitzvah Yivamim. There's a concern that the Mitzvah of Yibam may never happen here. Because Dilma Ad Meyod Chad Mayis Idach V'Kamavatal Mitzvah Yivamim. What the Mishnah is concerned about, says the Gemara, is that Reuven and Shimon, who were married to Rachel and Leah, passed away. Levi will go and do Yibum with Rachel, with the assumption that Yehuda will then do either Yibum or Chalitza with Leah. But we're concerned that perhaps after Levi does Yibum with Rachel, before Yehuda has an opportunity to do whatever he wants to do, Yibam or Chalitza, he'll pass away. And this woman will then not be able to have Yibam or Chalitza from Levi, because Levi's married to her sister, Rachel. So because of this concern, Chazal said, let Levi only do Chalitza in Rachel. If Yehuda will Baruch Shem live, Yehuda will then do Chalitza in Leah. But if Yehuda will pass away, Levi will still be able to do Chalitza in Leah, because she's only a Chois Chalutzosoy. A Chois Chalutzosoy is a candidate for Chalitza. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, why did the Mishnah have to speak about a situation of four brothers? The Mishnah could have spoken about three brothers. And Rashi and Ramban go to great lengths in explaining the Gemara's question. They explain as follows. If we say that the Peshat in the Mishnah is Yesh Zika, so as we learned previously, the man, the Omer that holds Yesh Zika, there's certainly a difference if there's only one brother who could do Yibam, where there's certainly a Zika, versus if there are two brothers, the Zika is a weaker Zika. So if we want to say that our Mishnah is teaching us Yei Zika, the concept of Yei Zika, how strong we apply it, is much more evident when we speak about two surviving brothers and still saying that there's a Zika, even though it's not known who's going to marry whom. But if the Pshat in our Mishnah is Osa Levatal Mitzvah Yivamim, so then the Mishnah should have said a case where Reuven and Shimon were married to two sisters, and they only had one surviving brother, Levi. And Levi should not do Yibum in Rachel, because then he won't be able to do Yibum or Chalitza in Leah, because it's Achois Ishtoi. Ask the Mefarshim, and actually this is the Gemara's Teretz, but we need to understand the Havamina. Why can't we say that the Mishnah is teaching us a bigger Chiddush? In a case where Reuven and Shimon are only survived by one brother, if that one brother Levi does Yibum in Rachel, then it's not a situation of maybe Yibum will be, that maybe we won't be able to do Yibum. For sure we won't be able to do Yibum. She's his wife's, Leah is his wife's Rachel's sister. However, in a situation where there are two brothers, Levi and Yehuda, where it's only a concern that Yehuda may die, there, to still say that the concern that he may die, and therefore if he may die, the mitzvah of Yibam will be negated, is a bigger chiddush. So that's the reason the Mishnah chose four brothers, even according to the pshat of Osa Levatal Mitzvah Yivamim. So the Rishonim explain that the Gemara and the Havamina does not draw a difference between something, if there's a concern of osel vatal mitzvah shivamim, we don't make a difference if it may happen or if it will for sure happen. If there's a concept of osel vatal mitzvah shivamim, then we have to avoid it even if it's only a possibility, not only if it's for sure going to happen. And therefore the Gemara asks the Mishnah, if the Mishnah was trying to teach us the din of osel vatal mitzvah shivamim, and as the Rashbis explains, that the Mishnah should have spoken only about three brothers, as most of the Mishnayos in this perek speak about when there are only three brothers. Answers the Gemara, Lami Baye Kamrinan. The way to understand the Mishnah according to this understanding is, it goes without saying, Lami Baye Tlasa, certainly when there are three brothers, as we just said, the Vadi Batla Mitzvah Shivamim, where certainly the Mitzvah Yibum will be negated, because if Levi will do Yibum with Rachel, Ruvain's widow, he won't be able to do Yibum or Chalitza with Leah, Shimon's widow, it's a Chos Ishtai. Aval Arba, in a case of four brothers, which means we just said, it's only a possibility that Yehuda may die, and then if Levi married Rachel, Leah will end up not having had the mitzvah chalitza done with her. Lemisa lechashinat, we shouldn't be concerned about death, as many times in halacha we are not concerned about death. Kamash malon, that we are concerned, and therefore even in the case of four brothers, there's a concern of osel vatal mitzvah sivamim, and we only allow Levi to do chalitza with Reuven's widow Rachel, not Yibam. Ask the Gemara if there's such a concern, Ihochi Chamisha Nami, why did the Mishnah have to speak about four brothers? The Mishnah could have spoken about five brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisoschar, and teach us that even under those circumstances, Levi should not do Yibam with one of the widows who are sisters, with the concern that maybe both Yehuda and Yisoschar will pass away. Answers the Gemara, Lamisa the trailer Chshinin. We don't have to be concerned, the Chazal were not concerned that two brothers will pass away. That's already too much of a remote possibility, and therefore if there are five brothers, says the Gemara, and this is the Nafkamina, very important point. This is a Nafkamina if we learn the concern of the Mishnah is Yesh Zika, versus if we learn the concern is Osel Vatal Mitzvah Shivamim. If the concern is Yei Zika, so therefore Levi and Yehuda cannot do Chalitza, cannot do Yibam with Rachel and Leah, because each one is to him an Achaisu Kukasai. So under all circumstances, they're prohibited from doing Yibam to Rachel and Leah. But if the concern is Osel Vatal Itzis Yevamim, that concern is only if there are two brothers surviving the two brothers who passed away. There, we're concerned that after Levi does Yibam, maybe his brother Yehuda will die. But if there are two brothers surviving Levi, that's already too remote of a concern, and we don't have to be concerned that Yibam, that both Levi and Yehuda will die, and then Levi would be allowed to do Yibam with Rachel, and afterwards be comfortable in the knowledge that either his brothers Yehuda Yisoschar will do Yibam Machalitza with the other widow Leah. The Mefarshim explain that what is the basis of the Machloikis between these two Shitas of Osel Vatal Mitzvah Shivamim versus the Shita of Yezika. They explain, the man Dama that explains holds Osel Vatal Mitzvah Shivamim, in this case it's not Yibam that will be negated. What will be negated is Chalitza. Because again, what is the concern? That Rachel, that Reuven will marry Rachel, and then Yehuda will die, and he will not be able to do Chalitza, even Chalitza, in Leah, because it's a Chos Ishtai. This man d'Amar obviously holds that Chalitza in its own is considered a mitzvah. The man d'Amar holds of Yezika and is not concerned about Osel Vatal Mitzvah Sivamim holds that anyway the mitzvah is not being done here. Because the mitzvah of Chalitza they hold is not really a mitzvah. The only mitzvah is Yibam. So if the only concern is that And in this case, Yibum would not be able to be done because Rachel married Leah, so certainly Chalitz Yibum cannot be done. So therefore, they're not concerned about Chalitza not being done because in their opinion, Chalitza is anyway not an independent mitzvah. From here, point out the Mefarshim, we see that we prefer to do, Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses this, sometimes we prefer to do two lesser mitzvahs at the expense of doing one better mitzvah. Because what are we saying here? That Reuven should do Chalitza, even though as we've been learning, Chalitza is less than Yibam, just to make sure that at least Leah also gets the opportunity of having at least Chalitza. Even though, perhaps we should argue, that let Reuven do Yibam, even if it means that Leah will end up with not having anything, not Chalitza or Yibam, but at least one mitzvah will be done 100% perfectly. We see from here, points out Rabbi Yosef Engel, perhaps, that it's better to do two lesser mitzvahs than to do one better mitzvah. And in fact, that's what he says, is pshat what it says in Pirkei Avos, hakol lefi roiv hamaisa. We look at action, more mitzvahs are more valuable, we look at quantity, so to speak, over quality. There are mefarshim that say that this is not necessarily proof, because here, it's not just that he's preventing Leah from having Yibam or Chalit, it's not just that Leah won't have any mitzvah, he's causing that should happen. That's when we look at have more mitzvahs done. But if somebody is not actively involved in causing another mitzvah to be negated, perhaps we should have the first mitzvah done in a better way. The Gemara now begins the sugya of Chalitza Psula. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barafun Amar Rav, Shalosh Achoyus Yivomois. Here we have three sisters married to three brothers. Levi Yehuda Yisoschar are married to three sisters, Chigla, Migla, Milka, and Tirza. Shenaflu Fnei Shnei Achim Yivom. And now these three brothers passed away, and these three sisters fall to Reuven and Shimon. Zechol Achas, Reuven, one of the surviving brothers, does Chalitza to one sister, Chigla, let's say. Zechol Achas, Shimon does Chalitza to another sister, Tirza, Va'entzois, and the third sister, Milka, Tzricha Chalitza Mishneim, has to receive Chalitza both from Reuven and Shimon. Why she called them Tzois, says Tosfos? Because since she has to receive Chalitza from two brothers, both from Reuven and Shimon, that's why she's called them Tzois. Amle Rava, Midakamrit, by saying that Milka requires Chalitza both from Reuven and Shimon, what do we obviously hold? Kasavrit Yezika. This mandama holds that there's a Zika band that connects each brother to each woman. V'havalei Chalitza Psula. And the Chalitza that's going to be performed with the middle sister is a Chalitza Psula, deficient Chalitza. Why is it a deficient Chalitza? Because neither Reuven nor Shimon can marry, can be meyabin Milka, because she's an achois chalutzosoi. Reuven did chalitza with Chogla, Shimon Milka's sister. Shimon did chalitza with Tirza, Milka's sister, and therefore she can never be a candidate for Yibam. In a situation where a woman is not a candidate for Yibum, her Chalitza is a Chalitza Psula, it's a deficient Chalitza, and therefore the Chalitza that Reuven, for example, would give her is not strong enough to free her, or vice versa, if Shimon gave her, Chalitza would not be strong enough to free her, and they both have to give the separate Chalitzas. Chalitza Psula, Tzricha Lachza Kola Achen. Ask the Gemara if you're following that line of reasoning. Ihachi kamaisa nami. So the first two sisters also have a weak chalitza, because as we learned, if Chigla and Tirza before Milka came into the picture, were each one was a choisu kukosoi, as we learned in the Mishnah, a choisu kukosoi is not a candidate for Yibum. So if she's not a candidate for Yibum, the chalitza that Reuven gave him one sister, given that she wasn't a candidate for Yibam because she's a chos sukkasoi, should be a weak chalitza, and she required that Shimon should also give a chalitza. And the same with Tirza. Answers the Gemara, either Nafu Bas Achas, if Chagla and Tirza, if Levi and Yisoscha, Chagla and Tirza's husbands died at the same time, Hachinami, that would be truth, since each is a chay sukkasoi to the other, so it's a chalitza psula. Reuven would have to give chalitza to both, Shim would have to give chalitza to both. Light Sricha, however, the case that Rav is referring to is the Nafal Bazar Chazu. Not that Levi and Yisoscha died at the same time, but rather Levi died first, Nafla Chada, Navli died, and Reuven does chalitza to Chagla, his wife. At that point, she's not a chay sukkasoi, but Yisoscha, Tirza's husband, is still Baruch Hashem alive. Nafla Idach, then Yisoscha dies, and Shimon does chalitza to Tirza. At that point, she's also not a chay sukkasoi, because Chagla already received chalitza from Reuven. Nafla Idach, finally, when Yehuda dies and Milcah falls to both of them, Cholos Lahai Mafkas Kukusai. When, since neither of these two brothers can marry Milcah, because Milcah is the Chos Chutzosai both for Reuven and Shimon, therefore they each have to give separate chalitza. Cholos Lahai, Reuven gives chalitza Mafkas Kukusai. Since it's a weak chalitza, it doesn't have the ability to take away the Zik entirely, it only has the ability to take away the that much of the Zika that exists between Reuven and Milcah, and then Chos Lahai, and then Shimon does Chalit Tahar to Mafka Zikasa to take away whatever Zika exists between him and her. Ask the Gemara, this entire concept is based on Zika. But Rav is the mandama that we learned in the previous parak on the Avyot Zayin that doesn't hold of Zika. And that's why Rav says that one is allowed to marry the mother of his Yevama, if he doesn't marry her. Answer the Gemara, Rav himself perhaps would not subscribe to these halachas. Rav was addressing the Manda Omer that holds Zika. He was addressing it according to that Manda Omer. This would be the halacha. When we learn this Gemara, we think to ourselves that this Gemara is something that's not relevant, can never be relevant, la halacha lemaisa. But actually, there's a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim to the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Sholem, that had exactly this situation. The Sar Sholem had four sons: Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shmuel Shmelka, Rebbe Moshe, and Rebbe Yeshua. His second son, Rebbe Shmuel Shmelka, passed away without any children, and his wife fell for chalitza. And the question was asked to Divrei Chaim, which of the remaining brothers should do chalitza? So we, based on the Gemaras we've been learning, would have thought that the oldest brother should be doing do chalitza, as we learned. V'haya b'char mitzvah begodl shva'achim liyavim. However, the Divrei Chaim, based on our Gemara, says that no, he should not be the brother that should chatchila do the chalitza. Why? He explains. Reshmul Shmelka was married. Since we have a chem de Reino Gershom, Reshmul Shmelka could not take this woman in Yibam. We're learning now that when Yibam can't be done, the chalitza is a chalitza psula. So that's what the Divrei Chaim said, preferably one of the single brothers who could do Yibam and then chooses to do chalitza should do the chalitza. That will not be a chalitza psula and will be a better chalitza, and one of them should do the chalitza versus the married brother.